Well, Ralph, this is Mark Boersma.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Okay.
Excellent, excellent.
Looking out the window at a pretty hummingbird.
Nice, nice.
What are you up to?
Oh, I tell you, I got to see my grandson.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's a month.
Uh-huh.
So it's the first... for our first grandchild, and first time I saw him, and so flew out to the East Coast over the weekend, and that was really, you know, that was really amazing. Yeah, that was quite an experience. So
spectacular.
And then I got, you know, lots of things going on with the teenagers, and had I'm meeting with a group of individuals in their 20s on Monday, Mondays, and we're starting to make some breakthroughs with that. And like they're starting, it seems like they're starting to see that it takes hard work. It takes discipline. There's delayed gratification, and what makes us feel good in this short term often is a hindrance to the long term, and we have to have a balance between looking in the past and enjoying the present and focusing on the moment, and then the long term and the balance of all that. And they're starting to, like, they're starting to get that. And it's starting to take some, you know, take root, which is, you know, really cool.
Well, I think this is, you know, if you're in your 20s, this is a tough world. Because it presents you hard choices and no vision. The word says the people perish for lack of vision. And that cuts several ways. We have no national vision, but we also have no state vision. We have no community vision. We have no very little vision in the workplace. In essence, we're, for the most part, bankrupt of leadership.
See, it's interesting you should say that, because a few years ago I read a Thomas Jefferson Education, and they trace back the history of education. And they say that the current educational model was essentially to train the masses to work in manufacturing. And they said that the current model does not create, you know, statesmen. And just some very interesting premises. I mean, education has become such big business for everything. I mean, there's so much money that's flowing into it, that it's like to simplify it would reduce the cost by 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 80%. And
well, for the most part, it got much too centralized and too big. Big government, big business, big church, big education. What are the results?
So, how do you, like, how?
I think we started out of necessity with a very decentralized government, decentralized business, decentralized education. And that has its limitations, certainly, but it also has great pluses, because it tends to be a little bit of competitive. There was a time when it was okay and even laudable for one community's high school to be better than the next community's high school, which, of course, today is anathema. We have to produce a standard product with a standard education, which tells you that either all the children in Lake Wobegon are above average, or you're looking for average and mediocrity.
See, before I lose my thought on the vision, like I'm working with a client right now because, you know, they lack vision, and, you know, they're making a lot of money, a lot of profit, great profit margins, but it's almost like the nation where they're living off of the past, and if they don't, like, how do you teach somebody to have vision?
Oh, well, it can be done, and, you know, it's kind of been the main thrust of what I do in C-12 for a long time. You've got to realize that most small businesses, which is what I deal with, are people who, well, for one reason or another, wound up running a small business, but they're primarily technicians. They're plumbers or they're car mechanics or what have you, and all of a sudden they've got their own shop, and then they do a couple things right, and they're good. It grows. But they continue to be technicians, and what they've got to learn to do is be leaders, because they soon find out that as a small business grows a little bit, it perishes for lack of leadership, and leadership is a very sort of soft, mushy type of thing. So what do I do when I'm leading? How would I put that on my day timer? So you've got to reduce it to some tasks, and they're task oriented, these people. So I have a whole leadership questionnaire that I put out to them periodically to make sure that they are doing their leadership job as well as their technical job.
Now leadership does not, you can be a good leader, or am I thinking manager? You can be a good leader without vision or not?
No, that's a manager.
That's a manager.
Now, leadership requires you to do certain tasks which are difficult, which the technician shies away from. And my job is to convince them that if you're not up to doing the leadership and you don't want to do the leadership in your company will be absent. There will be no leadership, and you will eventually perish for lack of leadership. And leadership consists of certain things that you have to get done. And when I get them to start doing these things sort of one by one, they realize how difficult they are. But at the same time, they begin to realize how necessary they are. Leadership starts... It goes back to the Patton film. You ever seen the film on Patton?
No, I have not.
George Scott. It was a powerful film. And Patton had this very controversial personality.
Right.
But in it, there's a scene where he goes visits. He's in North Africa, and he visits one of the sees a GI sort of sitting by the roadside catching some sleep, and he goes up to him and kicks him and says, "Son, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm just trying to get some rest, sir." And he says, "Well, you're the only blanky blank person out here who has any idea what he's trying to do." It gives a stark reality to the chaos of most businesses. You walk into an office or you place a business or construction site, and you say, "I wonder if anybody knows what they're trying to do." And then you get to the next question, "I wonder if everybody knows what they're trying to accomplish today." And the answer is generally no. So how are you going to get anything done if you don't know what it is you're trying to get done?
So that's one of the leadership questions?
Oh, yeah. I could send you the
that'd be great.
It takes several times.
So have you ever broken it down as a leader on percentage of where focus is?
Well, yes, in the test. I asked him, "Okay, what percentage of your time do you spend on leadership?" Well, you ask them that question with on a blank sheet, they wouldn't have any idea because they don't know what leadership is.
Right, or probably where their time is going fully.
But together with all the other questions on the sheet, have you done this, have you done that? Because, first of all, when I get a new member, I start working on mission statement. Do you have a mission statement?
Wow.
Don't know how to write one, don't know what it's for. So we work through that. Usually takes about 2 years. You have a vision statement. What does that do? You have a set of values that dominate the culture of your company. Do you have a business plan? You have one that looks out at least 3 years. And you go down the list. Well, no. Well, then what are you doing? You're doing your technical job and then trying to put out fires. You have no idea where the fires are coming from or why. Why? Because there is no leadership being done in your company. And so what leadership does is get the person to look at the big picture. Well, if you have a biblical worldview, you start by looking at the big picture, because what you're trying to do is look at your life, your circumstances, your community, through God's eye. Is that not the big picture? Is that not look at the end from the beginning? The guy who just died had those seven principles.
Right, Stephen Covey.
Stephen Covey. And he's a big picture guy, leadership guy. You know, all of those things are basic leadership. But the church used to teach leadership before it forgot what leadership was.
Why would you say that? I mean, that's an indictment. That's interesting.
Well, look at the most churches, organizationally, they have no leadership. They're also technicians.
So, what would be your definition of a leader?
Okay, what are your basic ministry in the church.
Well, it's going to be
pastor,
right?
Pastor, evangelist, apostle, and prophet. So most of the church has cut itself down to pastors and teachers. They get the evangelists out of town as soon as they can, or preferably overseas. Apostles, they don't know.
Why is that? Why do they get them out of town, or preferably? Why is that?
Because of the five, two are status quo.
Okay, so what are they
oriented.
Again?
The pastor and the teacher, they're pretty much status quo. The apostle, he's an entrepreneur, isn't he? Hmm. The evangelist, he too is trying to make something happen that isn't. They're forward-looking. The prophet, he's a great big picture guy. Those are your leaders. And there's a natural conflict between those and the people who are just leave me alone, let me work on my sermon. Let me teach what I've always taught. And,
what did you say the apostle and evangelist were?
Well, they're changed artists. Look at Paul. He'd stay 3 weeks, get something organized, get something going, move on. He had work to do. He was an entrepreneur, wasn't he?
Hmm.
He's building the kingdom. He has a vision for building the kingdom. He's the visionary. So is the prophet. The prophet is the guy who's looking at what it, the big picture of what he is, and spending time with the Lord to say what is and what should be. What's the Lord doing?
So, is there any way for a prophet to be loved?
A prophet is not without honor. Why? Where?
In his own country. So does a prophet have to go to another country then?
No. It doesn't say to save in his own country. It says save in his own hometown.
Oh.
Wherever he is, he's going to be somewhat disruptive. Right?
Right.
And he's casting a vision.
So is there any way for him to be loved? Or
his purpose isn't to be loved. His purpose, that's the goal, becomes the goal of the pastor and teacher. They're building their own empire. They want to be loved.
Is that okay?
They want to preach well and, you know, get everybody to agree with him, so he preaches to scratches where they itch, and the teacher likewise, but the prophet isn't that way. And the evangelist rubs a little salt in the wound.
So
the Lord didn't send us here to build our nest the best way we can. And that, I think, is the basic philosophy of teaching, and that's what most 20-year-olds have grown up with. They have no vision for, and if you have no vision for building the kingdom, why would you be willing to sacrifice anything for that vision? And see, that's the problem. Nobody is working on something bigger than themselves, with one exception: the gang.
Ralph, you spin my mind. That's just... Why do you say that, and where do you get that from?
Well, look at the gangs. They want to be something other than a number. They want to be important to somebody. And fellow soldiers, you know, if you're in danger together, it creates bond. But there is very little bonding, especially in most churches. I think that, you know, if you go to a high school, go through a high school with, what, 2,000-3,000 kids, you're going to wind up desperate to be something other than somebody other than a number. Consequently, you have all these little cults and gangs and so on. I don't know. To me, we're losing community. When community gets too big, it loses community.
So the answer is?
I think we've got to find a way to recreate a healthy community. A community will establish itself, but generally in the wrong way. That's why the tightest communities are apparently these gangs. Those guys are tight.
And how do you create tight communities?
You got to have a vision. It's got to be a unifying factor. And it's easier to create a negative unifying factor than a positive unifying factor, I think.
So how do you create a positive one?
You've got to have a visionary. You've got to have an apostle, an evangelist that's sold out for Christ.
How quickly can that be done?
I send my grandkids and I send my kids to a Christian camp out in Missouri, run by Joe White. And he has done as good a job as anybody I've seen to bring kids into really tight unity. He does it through a lot of sports and a lot of you familiar with Young Life at all?
I am.
Well, in the evenings they have what essentially could be a Young Life meeting. During the days, it kind of resembles Fellowship of Christian Athletes. During the evening, it resembles Young Life. And they have their kids there for either 2 weeks or 4 weeks. In cabins and doing things and competing, but there's a lot of excitement. And he's been doing it. Well, he's the second generation. His father did it. He's been doing it now for 40 years or 35 years. He's gotten good at it. But
do you know him personally?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a number of years, but I do know him personally.
Do you have his contact information?
I could get that for you.
If you could email that to me, that would be that would be much appreciated.
Yeah,
he's
And he has he has a theme there, a motto there for his kids that they don't seem to forget. It's the I'm third.
Wow.
God first, family second, then me. Which is, you know, desperately needed if you think about the way our kids are raised and taught.
Right.
It's all about me.
Right. Right.
And I think that when it becomes all about me, then it's hard to have any kind of community, isn't it?
Right. Right.
And I'll bet you that most of your 20-year-olds don't have anybody outside themselves that they completely trust. You can ask them that. Who do you trust? Who would you trust with your life? And that's easier than who would you trust with your career, your finances, or your well-being.
Right. Ralph, is there anything I can do to help you?
Well, I need your prayers.
I'm doing that.
For health, some breakthroughs in the work I'm trying to do with some writing, which is sort of come to a halt.
There's
one other thing that I want to tell you about your 20-year-old.
Yeah.
You need they need a grounding of a biblical worldview. But they also need an understanding that if they're going to do anything that they will ever consider significant, and we all basically want to be significant and do something significant, they got to learn that I can't, but he can, and he's in me, and I'm in him. And that means that if they not only need to be commissioned for work, because God created us all to be creative and to do work, and that's a great honor and privilege. But they also need to be anointed for work, because apart from the Holy Spirit, they're never going to be able to rise above their own capability. In other words, they will never do anything beyond their own strength. Ability. And that's frustrating in the end. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we all get to do some amazing things. Amazing not because they're spectacular to the world, maybe, but amazing because they reflect God's power and greatness rather than ours. And the people that know us and we ourselves know that I didn't do that. I could never have done that. But it's awesome that I was able to accomplish something that I'm not really, I don't know how I did it. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's kind of like the kid riding the bicycle the first time. It's like your first solo in an airplane. It's like all of those things. Those are the highlights of your life. And I think that our 20-year-olds and so on are not having enough of those moments because they don't have any vision to do something significant.
I've got to run here,
yeah,
but
okay.
Yeah, this is really good. So if you get a chance.
I'll email you that.
Yeah. And then when you email me, let me know what's going on the writing, because I think I can help you with that. There's a lot that we've done in and around that area. So let me know kind of what's going on there.
Well, one of them I've been stuck with that I'm trying to write a paper on anointed for work. And I'm not getting too far with it.
Yeah, I think I can. I might be able to help you with that one. So
okay.
Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.